Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of Working Media, a podcast where professional journalists offer insight and advice on working in the media industry. I'm your host, Adrian Ma. I'm a journalism professor at Ryerson University in Toronto. This podcast is produced in partnership with JSource, the English language portal for the Canadian Journalism Project. On today's episode, I speak to Lindsay Michael. Lindsay is a self-described audio nerd who has worked in public radio for more than a decade in a variety of roles. But you would know her best as the co-host of CBC Radio's podcast playlist, along with Matt Galloway. In this episode, Lindsay talks about how she got her start, at a very young age, in journalism, and what she learned about the importance of networking. I had a really great time chatting with her at the CBC building in Toronto. Without further ado, this is Lindsay Michael on Working Media. I'm here right now at the CBC building in Toronto with Lindsay Michael, producer and co-host of CBC Radio's podcast playlist, the show that serves as a kind of Whitman sampler for the most compelling, innovative, and provocative audio storytelling available today. Do you like that analogy?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good, pretty accurate.
I suppose it depends like whether or not you actually like chocolate. Like, are you a fan?
I love chocolate.
Right.
We actually, our Valentine's Day episode, we used an image of a chocolate box with all of these different podcast logos in it. So that's a very apt description.
Because your show could also be considered a beer flight, if that's more your thing.
I think I like that better. Beer flight.
All right. Well, okay. Before we get into today's interview, I'd like to make a disclosure. You and I have been pretty good friends for a while.
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of a fact of life that if you work in the Canadian journalism industry, it's a small world. And if you work in it long enough, you'll have worked with many people and you'll have a lot of friends or even, I guess, frenemies.
Yeah. We're not frenemies.
No, we're not frenemies, though. No, we're friends.
At least I hope.
So anyways, for people who may not know you as well as I do, Lindsay Michael, where are you from and how did you end up here?
Okay. So I'm from Prince Edward Island. I grew up in Charlottetown. It's like really twisty, I guess for everybody, probably. It was a twisty road that landed me at the CBC. My very first job, well, was at the CBC. Basically, I was at a science fair, I think in grade 5 or 6.
So how old were you at this time?
I don't know. Probably like 12.
Yeah.
I think I was 12. I was young. I was a kid. And the CBC came because it's Charlottetown and, you know, Charlottetown has a PEI is a population of about 150,000 people or 130,000. So they report on things like science fair. So they came to the science fair and they're interviewing the kids. And one of the people who still works there now interviewed me at the time. And then the next day I got a phone call and he said, would you be interested in being our cub reporter for CBC Radio Charlottetown?
Amazing.
And I said, yeah, I mean, I guess. I didn't know what that was. And so it was back in the day when you actually still use tape. So they'd give me one of these giant tape recorders and I'd carry it to school and I'd go into the schoolyard and I'd ask questions like, what do you want for Christmas? Or like, what books are you reading right now? And then I would give the tape back to them and they'd edit and play it on the air.
Yeah.
And so that was my first job.
What was it like the first time you heard one of your pieces on the radio?
It was crazy. Yeah. It was just, I don't remember hearing it because it was live, right? It was the afternoon show.
Okay.
But I remember being in studio and just loving it. And just like, I wasn't nervous. Now I probably get more nervous than I did then. I was too young to know better, but it just felt right. Like it felt fun. It felt like what I wanted to do. Although at the time, it's funny, I didn't realize that was what I wanted to do. But because for a while, the rest of the story is I went on to be an opera singer for a while.
Yeah.
But radio kind of was always a weird theme through my life.
Yeah.
And I came back to it.
Well, you seem to always loved audio, you know, music.
Yeah.
Sonic kind of storytelling, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you end up, if only getting all jobs are that easy, I suppose, when you get starting out.
I know, isn't that bananas? Like, I just can't believe that happened. And you know what's funny is I didn't even realize that's how I got into CBC until maybe like 6 years ago. I didn't remember that I didn't connect it to what I'm doing now. It was just another weird anecdote.
So you ended up working in different departments over the years, radio and news. How did you end up working on Podcast Playlist?
It was funny. I was in Montreal for a long time. And then I moved to Toronto and I was just kind of doing short contracts with different shows. And one of the short contracts, I just kind of happened to be available, and they were looking to do a summer show about podcasts. And so they said, hey, could you just do kind of a summer show about podcasts? And so I started working on it and kind of working with the managers on it. And we came up with this concept. But basically, it originally started out quite simple. It's like, oh, we'll just like play some podcasts on the radio. But then we're like, yeah, and there's going to be a host. Maybe there's two hosts. And maybe we play like six podcasts. And maybe it's an hour. It's just one of those things where it just kept growing and growing until it became this crazy, big project that it is now. Because it takes a lot of work. Because we also license everything we play. So it's like a complicated process. But it got more and more complicated until it became what it is.
Well, it's just interesting because speaking of whether you go one host or two hosts, mm-hmm. from what I understand, you weren't originally supposed to be on air.
No, I wasn't on air.
Okay, so how did you become an accidental CBC radio personality?
You know, yeah, it's true. It was so lucky. So Sean Ramaswaram, mm-hmm. who is now the host of Vox's Today Explained, which mm-hmm. is their big daily podcast. Mm-hmm. So he was originally the host of the show that we decided to have on air. And he was the best. He is the best dude. Like, I just loved working with him. And we got along really well on the phone. We joked around a bunch. And he's like, hey, like, I feel like we have a really good rapport. Maybe you should be on the air with me, because I was his producer. I was like, oh, you mean like once in a while? He's like, no, like co-host the show. I was like, I don't think I can do that. Like, you're already hosting the show. And what do I do? Like, just go ask my bosses if I can also host it? He's like, yeah, just go ask them. And then it took me about 3 days where I was like, can I do that? And I hadn't really even thought about myself as a host before. Mm. But then I went and asked, and they're like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's try it and see what happens. And it really, really worked, because I think we had fun working together, and I think that like showed on air.
Yeah.
And so, so we worked together for a while, and then he went on to WNYC stuff, and then Matt Galloway joined the show.
The great Matt Galloway.
Great Matt Galloway, right. which was when they told me who my next co-host was. I was like, are you serious?
Well, it's just amazing, you know, how your kind of career, your whole career trajectory can just change like that.
Yeah. You know what? It really was. Yeah. I was so surprised in like a positive way, and I didn't think that changes or opportunities happened that way. I thought you like had a plan, worked towards, and then it worked out or didn't work out, but I wasn't expecting to kind of be surprised by left field. I didn't think careers worked that way, but I guess they do a lot. I just hadn't really thought about it before.
Yeah. Well, speaking of careers, and this podcast really is about helping aspiring journalists, young journalists, make inroads in their careers. Mm-hmm. A big theme of this podcast is to ask professional journalists this particular question. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you were first getting started? So I'm going to pose that question to you. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you were first getting started?
I wish that I had known how important it was to network, and also that networking isn't this horrible, cheesy, terrible thing that makes you kind of, not sincere. Because I had this idea of what networking was, and I always thought, I don't want to do that.
Why do you think you had that idea in your head?
I don't know. Like, I think you think of networking, and you think of networking events for, I don't know, like sales or whatever. And you just imagine people trading business cards and like meeting each other to get something out of the relationship. Right. Do you know what I mean? It seems like you're not meeting someone on a human level. I always thought of it as being opportunistic. And so it's not something I ever wanted to have. And also I'm kind of shy. Like even though I guess I don't seem that shy, but I do, I really did not like talking to strangers unless I was interviewing them.
Yeah.
And I didn't like approaching people. And it just seemed like something I did not want to do.
So I guess take me back to one of your kind of earlier networking experiences. I mean, was there anything that happened that you look back on it now and you're like, really wish I could have taken that back?
Yeah. So basically, I came to Toronto twice. So the first time I came to Toronto, I was working as a producer on Upfront making documentaries. And I really kept to myself, like just like really focused on the work, really was interested in editing and just kind of focused on doing that. Didn't meet anyone from outside the show. Mm. And then one day I was just on contract. There was a big meeting and we went down and we found out that because of the economy and budget cuts, Outfront had been canceled. And then obviously I was just going to work out the rest of my contract. And then if the show was canceled, they weren't going to hire me again. So, but I didn't know anyone else in the building. And one of my mentors from the building at the time, told me, you know, now is a really good time for these next few weeks you're here to go meet other people and get other opportunities in the building so you can stay, you know, at the CBC. And I was so just opposed and nervous about networking that I didn't do it. And I thought, you know what, something will just work out. You know, my work will speak for itself. But of course, it didn't. And then I just, my contract ended and I was unemployed for a while, you know, for a few months. And that's when I decided to really learn about networking because I did not heed good advice and it did not pay off.
Wow. Yeah. So you actually then started to take networking a bit more seriously. How did you learn then to network better or more effectively?
I kind of realized that because before I worked in radio, I was a musician. Mm. And the next job I got while I had left, when I was not at the CBC for that short period, was in the music industry. And what I did basically was I wrote to all my friends and said, oh, this crazy thing happened. I'm not working right now. Do you know of anything? Like, is anything happening? And then I realized I was networking, and I was networking already in music. So networking isn't this superficial thing you do just to get a job. It's basically just making real connections with people who you think are doing interesting things, getting to know them and interacting with them on a human level, you know? And once I realized that it was that, because I like making friends, like I like meeting people, I like getting to know them. If that is networking, then that's something I can get behind and can enjoy. I just kind of had to change the framing of it for myself. And then it really worked. And then after that, after I figured that out, the whole time after I left the CBC, I was employed the entire time, like working in the music industry through different networking things. And then once I got back in, I got to do really interesting projects and I could get back into the CBC kind of through that same skill set that I learned.
Right. And I guess since then, I mean, so the kind of networking you're talking about, I think, you know, really meeting people in real life, getting to know them, which is a really important part of the game. So since then, you know, how has maybe social media or technology kind of changed the way you've approached networking?
Hugely. Like, I use Facebook a lot. Actually, like, in that period when I was getting a job in the music industry, it was through Facebook. I just kind of Facebook messaged some friends, and that's how I found out where there was work or who might know of work. Mm-hmm. And it's like once you make a connection, like once you meet someone you genuinely like and you have things in common and you in your industry who you enjoy talking to, I would just add them to Facebook or Twitter. And then you just kind of keep in touch organically or you see what they're up to. And then they just become someone in your world, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not so deliberate or or with a goal in mind. It's not that you want something out of them. And actually, in fact, what I enjoy once I figured out what networking was is sometimes I can help people too, or maybe I have something that they're interested in. And then it just becomes kind of a network of people you like in your life, in your work life.
That's an interesting thing. So you kind of went out of your way to tell people about, I guess, positions that opened up or other opportunities.
I still do that too. Like when I hear something anywhere in the media industry, because once you work here, you know about things, and sometimes the word doesn't get out easily. So I let as many people know as I can, especially people who are kind of outside of the media network, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of let people know what's happening. And if I hear something that's a great match for someone, I'll send them an email and let them know, and be like, hey, I think this job is really great for you.
What's your advice to people about approaching somebody you've never met before? You know, maybe someone that you respect their work and perhaps admire, but you've never had any contact with them before, and maybe you're naturally a bit of a shy person, a bit nervous. What advice would you have for people that do want to make a connection to someone they've never encountered before?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is to, it's tough. I mean, that's like one of the hardest things to do, mm-hmm. but I think to just be really honest and send a short, succinct email, probably because whoever you're trying to reach out to, they're probably really busy. And most people just skim emails, especially if it's from somebody they don't know, and kind of get to the point quickly and just say, you know, hey, blank, I'm a big fan of your work. I really liked blah, blah, blah. I'm really interested in getting into blank industry. I was just wondering if you had 5 minutes for a coffee. I'd love to buy you a coffee and just talk for, you know, to just find out what your take is on this.
Yeah.
And then either they answer you or they don't. But if they do, that's amazing. And you can learn something. And if they don't, then that's fine. And the other thing is, when you sit down, the thing isn't to ask them, like, how to, like, what's the job? What job can I get right now? It's more to find out what their experience is, what advice they have, and, you know, just to find out what they know. And I think by doing that and creating kind of more of an informational relationship rather than a I want something from you relationship, mm-hmm. I think that's what makes a big difference.
How has networking changed for you now that you've got a much more significant personal brand than before? I mean, you know, you're known as a host, and you're being very modest here. You're kind of laughing a little bit, but you know, you're very much a known public quantity now. You know, much more so than before.
Yeah, definitely more than before.
Yeah. So has this changed? I guess your networking or the type of networking you do.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have a lot more coffee meetings with students and people who are interested in the industry.
Hmm.
And so I spend a lot more time and kind of, I spend a lot more time speaking to students or people who are kind of coming into the CBC or starting off at the CBC.
Mm.
Just because it's, especially because of the experience I had where I made a lot of not great choices, I like to talk to people.
Make good choices, kids.
Make good choices. Although, I mean, whatever, it still works out, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And that's the other thing is if you make a bad choice, you make a bad choice and you move on from that, you learn, it's fine. But, you know, but I guess it's just changed because now, while there's still people I want to get advice from and whose opinion I ask for all the time, you know, there's a lot of people who I want to learn from. I'm also on the other end more able to kind of connect with people and share information that I have. So I guess that's how it's changed, is it's kind of more of a two-way street now.
Yeah,
whereas before,
yeah.
I just needed so much help.
But people are looking for you for mentorship now,
yeah.
Seeing your career path, which is interesting because I'm going to ask you, in kind of those meetings with younger journalists and aspiring journalists, you know, have you been able to identify any kind of really common mistakes they make when they're approaching people or networking?
You know what is, I actually see a lot of young journalists and I'm so impressed at how much better they are at it than I was when I was starting
out. Fair enough.
Like, I get so many emails where people are like, hey, could I just have a quick coffee meeting and ask a lot of questions about what we do in the show? And they're really good at it. The one mistake, though, it's not a mistake, actually, but something that I think people could be aware of is that a lot of people approach the meetings from their perspective, from what they want to do and what their dream job is, which I think it is important to let whoever you're talking to, a mentor, know that that's where you want to get and what you want to be. But they're not flexible as into how to get there. Like some people just, that's what they want and they just want to know how to get that and aren't open to other pathways or aren't thinking about that maybe it might take a few years and other jobs to like arrive at that point of what they eventually want to get to as their dream job. So I think it's just to have like an open mind and be willing to be open to other pathways to what you want.
So it sounds to me like you're really suggesting for people to take a very kind of collaborative approach to networking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's just like, I mean, I know it's weird, like maybe this is not a good way to think about it, but I just think about it as work friends, like work friendships. So you have work friendships where you are actually good friends with people, and then you have kind of work acquaintances. And I think networking is like those work acquaintances, but I just sort of think of them as friendships.
Well, you're also like one of the friendliest people alive. and so I'm guessing there are other, you know, people in your position or level that aren't quite so receptive to perhaps meeting with, you know, younger people. Their time is busy and everything like that. I mean, yeah.
I think a lot of people do, though. That's what really surprised me, actually, is it's a lot of my colleagues here anyway are always busy, like meeting with that's the thing is I think people like to talk about themselves. They like to talk about their experiences. Like people love that stuff. People love when people ask questions about them. That's a universal human truth. So if you are meeting with someone and you're asking them information about their industry, I mean, they're going to feel good about that. I mean, chances are high that they're going to say yes and you'll be able to get something useful out of that conversation.
So you're telling people, don't be intimidated you know, to the point where you're not reaching out to people.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, yeah, don't. And the thing is, like, I would say don't be intimidated not to reach out to people at all, because chances are somebody will say yes, but also don't be offended if they say no. And it's probably not even that they don't want to meet with you, but probably that they just have so many commitments and emails that they just can't keep on top of it is probably why. It probably has nothing to do with you personally. So never take it personally if they say no or if they don't answer. But knowing that, reach out to a bunch of people, because it's a numbers game. You know,
it's a numbers game.
Somebody's going to probably get back to you.
Yeah. And we've been talking a lot about reaching out kind of to individuals that you may have in mind. But I'm sure you've met a lot of people through conferences, through conventions, through those sorts of things. Do you have any tips about when we were kind of in a bigger space with lots of people, and it maybe can be a bit overwhelming? Do you have any suggestions on how to approach that?
I have so many suggestions, because I'm not a very organized person sometimes. So when I meet amazing people, I'll just like kind of get caught up in other projects and forget. The follow-up is amazing. So if you have a great conversation with someone and there's like a question that you're supposed to answer, you're supposed to send them a link to something, do it right away. Do it that night when you get back to your hotel room, or else you may never do it at all.
So don't play hard to get.
Don't play hard to get. And also when other people follow up with you, like answer right away. Just make sure that if you have a connection, like reinforce it pretty quickly, immediately after, and then add somebody into like passive communication if you can. So that means follow them on Twitter, follow them on Facebook, so that they're always sort of in your periphery and you don't forget that they exist. Because that's what happens. Sometimes you meet someone amazing at a conference, it's like one day long, and then 5 years later, you could use some of the knowledge that person has, but you don't remember that they exist. But if you have been seeing them on Facebook sort of in passing, or Instagram, for the past 5 years, then you remember them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, conferences are kind of a strange thing. It's almost like you feel like sometimes you're chatting someone up at a bar almost, because the environment's just kind of like that.
Yeah. I feel like it's more like a summer camp.
More of a summer camp. Yeah. No, you're right.
So, because it's like you go there, and like at the beginning you're super awkward, right? And then you make your camp friends, and then you sort of like hang out with your camp friends the whole time. Yeah. And then at the end you're like sad to say goodbye because you've had so much fun together.
Yeah, totally. So do you have a good opening line for first day of camp?
That's a good question. Yeah. So the other is like the cold approach. You got to at the conferences, because I've gone to a lot of conferences alone. Uh-huh. And so when you're there alone, you've got to
roll
just
solo.
Walk up to people so you don't feel really awkward. So I just walk up and I'm like, oh, hey, what's your connection to blah, blah, blah. So I'd be like, what do you do in digital journalism? You know, just ask them about why they're there, basically. That's like, why are you here?
Well, it just is the kind of essential question any kind of reporter would ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But once you start a conversation, like once you open it, then it's easy.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess it's really important for you to just ask the question, because not asking is not going to get you very far.
It'll get you literally nowhere.
This is so much fun. Okay. Do you have any other tips or suggestions that may have crossed your mind? You know, if you're speaking to aspiring reporters, people who are getting into hopefully what's going to be a long career. Any other suggestions for them?
It's a great question. So many. I mean, if you can, focus on the things that interest you most. Like, keep working. Like, do the work you need to do. I mean, it's very rare you'll get to do exactly what you want to do. So kind of do the work you have to do, but when you have the opportunity, do the work you are really interested in, because these little contracts we do, these like short projects we do, the sum of them becomes your career. So, you know, if you end up doing a lot of digital projects, in 7 years, you're a digital expert. If you end up doing a lot of long form interviews, in 7 years, you're a great interviewer. So the small choices you make build up into a big career. So sometimes you aren't always going to get to make the choice you want to do, the thing you want, because we need to pay our rent and live. That's a reality in this industry. So of course, like, that comes first. But within that world, try to make space for the things you love so you can move closer to where you want to end up. The other thing is, sometimes you end up in a job that's similar to what you like or sort of what you like, but maybe not exactly what you want to be doing, you can, there are ways to sort of like make a job into something you love. I was just, this is something I learned at another conference, but something that I've also seen people do, where say you're like just a reporter in a newsroom. So you're like just doing daily reporting, but you really want to be an investigative reporter. If you kind of spend a few evenings at home finding a really interesting idea for a story, and then over the next few weeks work on it until you actually have a story, and then you take that to your boss and say, hey, I just need one more day to work on this. Would you like this story? Of course they're going to say yes. And then you do that a few more times, and then you become more valuable as an investigative reporter than like a daily reporter. Yeah. And then eventually maybe that becomes your job. So you can change a job you have into a job you want sometimes in some circumstances. But so that's also something to consider if you're not where you want to be immediately.
Patience.
Patience and cunning.
Ah. So you have a very cool gig right now.
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
But where do you think you like to see yourself in the future?
That's such a good question, and it's one I ask myself a lot.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in the podcasting industry and the audio industry in general. Mm-hmm. Like where it's going, it's changing so fast, and it's so exciting right now because there's all this new technology. It's so interesting to see the different ways people are interacting with audio. So I just kind of want to stay in that world. But the hosting thing was so surprising and fun, and I love it so much.
Yeah.
I'd like to sort of explore that more, too.
Well, and you're absolutely amazing at it. And thank you so much for sharing all your insight with us today. I really had a great conversation. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Once again, that was Lindsay Michael, co-host of CBC Radio's podcast playlist. Thanks to her and to our producer, Nicole DiDonato, as well as our partners at JSource. And thank you for joining us. Until next time.